Hello, and welcome to a brand new edition of Pure Heart, Pure Lariat, the Eastern Lariat's Joshi exclusive spinoff podcast. I'm your host, as always, Mr. VTG Victory Through Guts, Dylan Fox, and I am joined by a very special guest this week. I'm so happy to be back. I'm so happy to hear the theme song again, but I am even more happy about being joined by my usual Eastern Lariat co-host, CageMatch.net's Grand Poobah, Striga. You're here. You're on the show. I can't believe it. I've wanted this day to come since day one. You're a busy man. You're a superstar in the wrestling game, but I finally got you down here. So thank you so much for coming on and joining me today.
I'm a Puma. I'm a superstar. Wow. This is
Grand Poobah. Poobah.
Getting off to a great start here. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for, basically, did you invite me to the show, or did I invite myself to the show? I don't know. I think you did.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I did the very first week.
Yeah.
See, so now it's okay, but now things worked out just in time for us to do it. And what a big show you're on. You're on a huge show, too. This wasn't a small spot. After the 5-Star Grand Prix, our wrap-up show, I guess you could call it. So I had a lot of faith in you. You know, I've had some big names, heavy hitters on the show before, but there was only one man I could turn to for this show, and it was you. So I'm very thankful for that. And, you know, Strig, I'm so happy that we're going to talk about a lot of stuff here on the show. And the great thing is that you watched every single match of the tournament.
Yes.
And I did as well. If you join our Patreon that we have, the patreon.com/EasternLariat, you'll see that I did every single 5-Star Grand Prix show. Reviewed every one of them relatively as soon as they came out. Some of them were a little late because of the controversy with the translations and things going on in the Stardom world that I don't even think you understood at first when it happened.
No, I wasn't aware why they didn't stopped putting up shows. I was aware what happened, but I didn't know what that had to do with them stopping to put up shows.
Yeah, I mean, so many questions. And we never really got answers.
No.
But things eventually worked out, thankfully, to where things went back to normal. We had our great translations again, and the shows came up. And actually, after things worked out and Sonny got back, things really actually sped up a lot. And things were really timely for the translations. Mm-hmm. We had main events coming out the same day of the show, which was very nice and appreciated. So as it is, though, the last night took a little while to put out together, so we're doing this now. And basically, how we're going to do this show to the listeners out there. First of all, I'd like to thank all the listeners for sticking with us on the show. Things get crazy sometimes with Joshi and with life itself, but always shout out to all the listeners out there. How we're going to do this is we're going to go through the final show, and when we get to each match, we'll talk about the participants in the tournament and their tournaments as a whole, because I think there's, you know, it would be crazy to cover every single match or anything like that. That would just take too much time and bore everybody to tears. And listen, you know, we're not going to do that. So the final show was at Corcoran Hall. This was on September 22nd, obviously, when it happened. They did over 1,000 fans in attendance. This was one of their biggest draws in some years, one of their top three draw the last few years, and the whole tournament was very successful. I know you follow the numbers a lot. What did you think of the tournament doing such a good number here in the tournament final?
It really goes to show that they created a good tournament environment and two great blocks to follow along with, and the fans really got into the 5-Star Grand Prix a lot. I thought the crowds were great for all the shows. Mm-hmm. I especially liked the Shinkiba crowds. They were really fired up for all these shows that they had. But also the final crowd with over 1,000 fans, that's really a good draw for Stardom. They usually do around 800, like for example, even their big summer show on August 10 did under 1,000 fans. So this is a very good crowd for them, and it was a fitting environment for the final show of this tournament that it ended up being a very good tournament.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Even last year's year in Climax didn't beat this number here. So you have to say they have a lot of positive momentum right now in Japan. And we've seen it with some of the people they're bringing in this year. I think it's been a really big year for them. Hana Kimura signing a contract. They were able to bring in Riho over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, they're really making some good moves. And on this show for the
brought
first
in
time.
Andras Miyagi, of course, too.
Yeah, Andras Miyagi, yeah, she signed a contract as well this year. And for the first time, just from a technical perspective, on this final show, we saw the debut of a video wall where they had video graphics for the wrestlers as they came down, almost a mini Titantron in some ways. I use that term loosely, but hey, it was the first time ever. It was interesting that they dropped this on this show here that showed you that they took this Corcoran Hall and this five-star Grand Prix serious here. So the show itself, the tournament as a whole, was very successful in terms of drawing. I'm sure a lot of people are happy about that, but the show itself started with Avery versus Natsu Sumire, and Sumire is one of the most interesting...
Dylan, before we go to the tournament matches, I haven't really followed along with Riho since she debuted in Stardom because she was not in the tournament, but as the high-speed champion, she was on the undercard matches. How'd you say she fit in? Is she a good fit for the company? Is she moving along with all the other women on the roster? How is Riho doing right now?
Well, I have to say on that note, that's actually a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I was trying to move too fast. I apologize for that. But Riho, in her case, I really think that she is a great fit for the company in terms of stylistically. The issue is the timing in which she came in, the fact that she's not in the tournament.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, it's really even too early to say, even though she's been here a couple of months now, she really hasn't had a chance to show what she can do in the tournament. Even her first match, she won the title, and it was like a 4-minute high-speed match.
Mm.
But I think she could do some good things with the high-speed title this year. We saw the great run Hazuki had earlier in the year that kind of, you know, because the high-speed title before this year was kind of like not really well used. And sometimes they didn't really have a good plan for it. It seemed like it was a very, you know, it's like the U.S. title in New Japan. It wasn't that well used, kind of. But now with Hazuki, they elevated the title a bit. Now Riho's got it, and I think she could do some good stuff with it, but it's too early to say for sure. And I think they would, if it were possible, she would have been better off if she had debuted, like, at the final show itself or a little bit after, I think would have been smarter, so she could actually be and put in a better position to show her stuff, because she's a really talented wrestler, I would say.
Yeah, didn't really make an impact, as you said, as you laid it out, why that was, could have been a bigger impact. It's going to be increasingly difficult, I guess, for Stardom to book her, especially with AEW's weekly show starting this week, actually.
So yeah, that's true, yeah.
We have to wait and see how that turns out to be. When did you win the high-speed title? In August.
Yeah,
did she have it with her at All Out? I'm not sure. I think she didn't.
I don't think she did.
Yeah.
And that was an issue. I know I myself and not many people, I think you mentioned this as well. When Toni Storm was Red Belt champion, she never had it with her when she went outside of the company.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not a big fan of that sort of thing. I think if you have the title, it should be with you. But I don't know how, like, this whole working relationship deal with AEW is so, it's a really relationship that we don't really know what the politics are of that. You know, because remember, too, they have, like, Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestlers as well in AEW. And Riho's a freelancer. She's not really a Stardom representative fully, but... You know, she does represent the company as the champion, so...
Well, they do also have a relationship with DDT, and Riho is on the big DDT Sumo Hall show, too, so...
Yeah, she wrestles in Tokyo Joshi Pro as well.
Yeah,
It's just kind of a weird situation. I think that may have... I don't know whose call that would have been, whether it was AEW's or Stardom, but we know that, you know, like we said, Moxley and AEW didn't have his title, so there's a lot of political maneuvering right now with this AEW deal, but it's... Great opportunity for the wrestlers. I think they see it as, and who knows what the company thinks or whose fault that was. I don't want to really throw shade at anybody because I just don't know the political maneuverings of that. But still, I wish that she had more of a spotlight for it, because I think Stardom. We always say this whenever somebody gets signed with WWE. We know that we heard the news about Sari and, you know, her going there. Everybody always talks about, like, half the people are like, oh, no, this is terrible. And then half are like, no, this could give a bigger spotlight. But actually, it really doesn't work that way usually when, so you know, like Io Shirai and Kairi Sane went to WWE. It really didn't help Stardom that much or give them much props. It feels like WWE fans mainly just – and like now AEW fans, I think the effect will be similar. They watch their company, not necessarily sure. Branching out to
– yeah.
But still, who knows where she goes from here. That, maybe that actually – you know, you bringing that up is a great explanation for why things turned out how they did. I feel like why she's not in a more prominent position right now, because I think she, if she had came in, she would have a good amount of buzz to her. She did when she came in, but it just didn't really work out that well because of the timing. But the 5-star Grand Prix, you know, Riho unfortunately wasn't in. She was always in the opening matches and whatnot, not even in a group yet or anything like that. So they still have time to work this out better, hopefully, with her. But also not in a group, Avery. She defeated Natsu Sumire in the opening match of the tournament on the final show, climbed to 8 points. I thought Natsu was one of the most interesting people to follow in the tournament, actually, because her whole character was very – it started out really very good in that she had been a longtime comedy character in the company, somebody who did a lot of goofy stuff. It was kind of like the joke character. But after she won her first ever title in the company – she decided that she wanted to be more of a serious wrestler in this tournament. And this was her kind of breakthrough of that. And we saw that during her earlier matches, but actually in the last couple of matches, she reverted back to her comedic ways.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed her as a serious wrestler in this tournament. Not that she's the most talented or anything like that, even as a wrestler. And some would say she's better off as a comedy wrestler, but I liked a lot of her matches earlier on. I thought her tournament was quite good. The last couple of matches, I thought she fell down, to say the least. You know, she had more of a comedy match. I loved the match with Tom Nakano. That was very funny.
Yeah, that's probably the match where it changed again, because it was all about the, quote, trashy little panda. And from that point on, she became the comedy character again. I like to call her the Taichi of Stardom.
She kind of is. Like, I totally get that comparison. She really is a lot like Taichi. I didn't like her last two matches, though, with Saki Kashima and Avery. I don't know how you feel about the licking gimmick for Avery.
I don't know.
Yeah, but, you know, what did you think of Natsu here? Did you like her as a serious wrestler and her last match? I thought her match with Mayu Iwatani, where she won, she got her first win, was like a great, you know, very quick match. It wasn't like a legendary match or anything, but it was for a 4 or 5 minute match. I thought that was a really great match, and probably her best match in the tournament.
Yeah, it's always a very interesting approach when a comedy character or a not-so-serious character gets into a tournament environment and suddenly tries to work harder, and that always gets the fans behind the character. And I think a similar thing happened here, in this instance with Natsu Sumire. And the way they booked this is that they slowly faded out the serious character again at the end of the tournament, which is actually pretty smart, because usually she is this other character. The wrestling that she did was all right. I think she'll never be the greatest technical wrestler, but still, she is kind of a character, and she plays it well, and also did this during this tournament here.
Yeah, I think so, too. I completely agree with you. What did you think of... Also, I will say one thing about that, too. In a tournament setting, I love that they did this, because I thought, and the reason why I love that Tom Nakano match so much, is I think it made that match stand out that much more than if she did the same stuff over and over again. Like, in the same character. Yeah, see, so I like that. I think a comedy character should always try to strive for that. That's one of my big problems with, you know, whenever you see comedy characters or crazy characters in other tournaments, it's like it's always the same thing. Mm. Here, I thought they did a great job balancing that a little bit more, even though by the end, like I said, I really wasn't into this Avery match. What did you think of Avery? This is her first time in Stardom, an Australian export. Mm-hmm. How do you think she...
So they had a very good story for her, and that was very important for Avery. I don't know how long she's been wrestling. Let me see how many matches we have from her. I think she started in 2016 on the Australian indie scene.
Yep.
Yeah, she was brought into this tournament for the first time being in Stardom here, and it was very important for her to have something from the get-go. And the story that she had from the get-go was that she lost. Coming in, losing. She lost her first three matches in the tournament, and she got increasingly more desperate throughout the tournament. And then she picked up her first victory over Hasuki. Oh, no, she didn't. She picked up her first victory over Saki Kashima. Sorry. Saki Kashima. And then she was very happy about that and followed along with that gimmick a bit until the end. She got 8 points, as you said. So for her, it was important to have this storyline because right now, in-ring-wise, she's not the best wrestler. But they kept her matches mostly short, and most of the matches were very short in this tournament. But hers were like between 4 and 6 minutes most of the time. And she... While she's not the best wrestler yet, I think she can be, because she has one thing that is very important in wrestling, and that is presence. She moves well, and she has the presence inside the ring, so that's important. And that's why I think they will bring her back, and eventually she will grow and become a better wrestler throughout working with Stardom.
Yeah, I thought she did enough to get brought back, to be honest. She might not have been the best wrestler. She was probably on the lower end of the tournament. She's always in the opening match pretty much in all of her matches. I thought she did a really good job in her promos. I really liked them backstage. Even when she was getting desperate, the more she got desperate, she was like, damn, what do these women eat for breakfast here?
Yes.
Yeah,
that was funny.
I was like, okay. And I liked her promos too, because unlike the other Gaijin, I think both of Jamie and B are kind of guilty of this at times. I like Jamie a lot, but still, sometimes they would get too rambly and go on and on. And Avery, all of hers, she might had a much better grasp of these backstage segments than the way Stardom does, I feel like. So I appreciated that. She showed a little bit here and there. Like I said, nothing fantastic. I think she does a great finisher. Everybody sold her Hammerlock DDT really well.
Yeah, that's a great DDT. Great looking DDT.
Yeah, yeah. See, so I think if she dropped... I think the problem with her is that she should tone down. I do like her presence, but I think she should tone down some of the gimmicky parts of her character, like, you know, the licking and the quote-unquote craziness that she has sometimes. I think she could tone that down and be a little bit more realistic, because it comes across not believable the way she does it sometimes. But I think she showed enough to get brought back, and I appreciated her run. I honestly don't think anybody had a bad tournament in this tournament, which is very interesting to see. But I thought she did a fine job for her first match and a young wrestler. So shout outs to Avery. You did a good job, as well as Natsu as well. I really appreciated Natsu's run.
Yeah, good point on the backstage segments. They have them for everybody, and they have a case of getting repetitive very quickly, because especially the Japanese women, they basically always say the same lines. They say, "Ha, it's day three of the Stardom Grand Prix. I'm wrestling so-and-so, and I'm going to win." That's it, basically.
Now, there was one person in particular that stood out above the rest in terms of great backstage segments, but then Andres Miyagi and Hazuki were the worst of the... Because they literally said the same thing every single time.
Well, Hana Kimura was funny, too, with her singing.
Yeah, that's true.
That was good.
Hanakimura was good. There was a couple that I liked. Mayu's gimmick amused me in how goofy she was back there. That basically she's clueless was her gimmick.
Yeah. I didn't really like the Priestley's backstage segments either, because they always ended in the same way. Yeah, as you said, very rambly, and basically always the same content.
Yeah. Now this is the legend of the tournament, in my opinion. Tom Nakano,
yes,
got a win over Saki Kashima here in a really high-speed match. We'll talk about Tom in a second, but let's get to Saki Kashima here, because I thought she was a really interesting performer in this tournament. Finished with 6 points, not in contention to win the block, but her entire tournament was basically high-speed matches throughout. She really emphasized her finisher, the revival, you know, the zombie revival, of course. She had a whole storyline with Natsu over it, Natsu stealing her moves. I also really enjoyed that Natsu, and she, you know, Natsu did that with multiple people throughout the tournament. The last match, she really used a bunch of different moves in a row. But Saki, I thought, was a really great performer in her role. No big great matches or anything like that. You know, everything I could get, like you said, with Avery, a lot of her matches were kept between 4 and 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I thought she had a role in the tournament that she played really well. And I I don't know what it was about her. She came out in this match with a robe on that looked very fancy and new. I think she actually really improved her standing to me, because I always thought of her as more of a mid-card talent in the company. And I thought she upgraded herself, not to the main event by any means, but still, I thought I came out with a better opinion of her after the tournament than before.
Yeah, me too. I always thought that she was kind of bland and not very interesting in her entire character. But if she goes along with this gimmick of hers, that she keeps the matches short, like almost like Hazuki does too, always trying to go for the cradles, and for the Lama Estrella, for example, other cradles, that can be something that fits her better than doing the long matches, because I don't think that she's very charismatic, and not charismatic enough, as you said, to be in the main event picture or in long title matches. But for this role really fitted well and ended up being a good tournament for her.
Yeah, I think she definitely benefited from it. I like the robe that she had at the end. I love her theme music that she had. She has one of the best entrance themes
definitely,
in the
yes.
company. Yeah. I think that she, I agree with you that she's not very charismatic. Even her backstage segment, she was always one of the most blandest people to me. But still, I liked her tournament for what it was. I thought they've got a great use for her. On the other hand, Tom Nakano, nobody increased their standing with me throughout this tournament more than her. That everything she did, I thought she was by far the best of the backstage promo segments. Every time she would try to do something different, you know, even in her match with Natsu, she was trying to rescue Peachon, and she cut a promo about that. So, and I love the pun she used where she was like, "Summer's over," and that was a pun on Natsu's name.
Yes.
I thought that was a great promo. And she connects regardless of what language you speak. Even in this promo, she climbed up on top of her chair and leapt off in her backstage promo for no reason whatsoever. I liked her wrestling. I thought she was one of the standout performers in ring to me. She's not somebody that I was really into ever last year. Remember when she got her big push where they, you know, they kicked her out of a Waito Tai, or she lost the Leadstown match. They mentioned that with Momo's match, I believe, when she entered her, in her promo. They had built up to the death match they had. That didn't really get over to the crowd of Stardom.
Yeah, that was rejected heavily.
Yeah, that didn't really work, unfortunately, for her. She's really been mid-card ever since and not really pushed. She had the storyline with Arisa Hoshiki, which really benefited her, where she got to show a different side of her. And here it felt like she was getting back to her true self, not the depressed, bitter Tom Nakano who hates Hoshiki. She was getting back to her true self by the end of this tournament, and I thought she had a great tournament. She honestly was probably my MVP of this whole tournament, in my opinion.
Yeah, calling her an MVP is... I can see that, definitely, because she also had two of the best matches of the entire tournament, the first being against Momo in Sendai, and the second against Mayu Iwatani in Shinkiba on day 5 of the tournament. I thought, especially this show, September 7 Shinkiba show, was very good from top to bottom.
Yeah, that was
probably the best show of the tournament. And she really benefited from the tournament. As you said, she proved that she can be a very intense wrestler, but she can also be a comedic wrestler. And that is two things that really work well together for a lot of women in Stardom. And she's trying to get behind this set of mind and working it into her matches much better. As I said, especially the ones against Momo and Mayu, great matches, great opponents for her too. I thought especially with Mayu, the style that she went really fit her so well, because they are basically using very similar moves, and they can transition from one move to another very smoothly.
Oh yeah, that was a great match. That was one of my favorites for the tournament too, definitely in my top 5, I would say. And yeah, like, that show was great with that. You had 5 matches that I thought were well worth watching on that show. You had Tom and Mayu on that show. You had B and Hoshiki, who was in the main event. That was a really good match. Tora and Jungle was good. Azumi Momo and Sumire Hazuki, I thought, were all worth watching on that show. Probably the winner of the show of the tournament. Nakano, loved her promos. in the backstage. She was always a delight to watch in and out of the ring, I thought. She really had a great tournament, I thought. And it finished with 10 points here. When she won in the last – the way they booked the tournament, too, I also have to say, they booked it to where Blue Block was very much like in – it came down to either if Hayter won her match, she would be in. If Konami won, she would be in. And in Red Stars, it's like you had a bunch of people in play. And Tom, at the point she won, was actually going to the finals, but she needed some luck. She needed some people to lose, which unfortunately did not happen the next match because Hana Kimura got a pinfall victory up over Hazuki. Oh, by the way, I just want to say about that match, Tom and Kashima. Great match, like I thought, for 4.5 minutes. I was telling you I was watching with someone that didn't really know about wrestling. She was a very new viewer, just getting into Stardom, and she loved this match. She thought it was awesome, like very technical sound, and I thought it was great, too.
Yeah,
of note, too. Yeah, Saki got a huge amount of streamers in this show as well. Her and Hoshiki probably got the most in Corcoran Hall here. So Saki did get over somewhat in this tournament. But the next match, Hana Kimura beat Hazuki in a match. This was the longest match of the tournament matches before the finals on the show. I thought it was one of the best of the tournament. Hazuki.
Yeah, Hazuki and Hana Kimura. Those are two wrestlers that are always on my radar of being top stars for the company. Obviously, Hana Kimura won this tournament, and as a contracted starter performer, she will eventually win one of the belts within the next 6 months, I'd say. But Hazuki, man, she's now turned 22 on this day, actually, when we're recording. And
happy birthday, Hazuki.
Happy birthday. And what a star in the making she is. Everything about her oozes superstar. She is just a great technical wrestler, but her charisma is off the charts, too.
See, I didn't really get that in her promos backstage because basically
not the promos, but when she's in the ring, everything clicks.
Yeah, it's funny because really, if you look at her earlier matches, because remember, I did every show and I rated every match, so that you told me off the air you weren't meticulously taking notes, much like myself, a super analyst right now. Some of her earlier matches really weren't, on my radar as being super great. Even Tom, I didn't think was that great, but suddenly it's like she was like to me mid tier throughout half the tournament, and by the time it ended, I looked up and it was like she's one of the top performers.
Yes,
and I was like, whoa! Yeah, exactly. It's like. I think she really popped off her last matches, and I thought this match was great with Hana Kimura. Such a great passion that these two had to fight each other. Hazuki, the one I was watching with, she popped huge when Hazuki bopped Hana on the west side in Corcoran Hall, then dragged her over to hit the east side as well. So she made sure to hit both sides of her directions there. But in the end, Hana got it with her new finisher that she won with the Tiger Lily. You know, Hana, I think, nobody benefited from the tournament more than her. I think we can talk about her more in depth at the end of the show, after she won the final. But she had a great match here. This was probably my favorite match of the tournament for what it was. Got a lot of time, good stuff for both women. Hazuki really stood out in this tournament as well as a great worker, and I can't wait to see what she does next. Next match was Momo Watanabe versus Mayu Iwatani. And this was another match that got a decent amount of time. All the ones on this show, besides the first two, got a good amount of time. And here we saw Momo eliminating Mayu Iwatani, who had an up-and-down run. Both of these women were involved. A bit of a technical difficulty miscommunication here, because in Momo's promo, she talked about, if Hana loses, I could still win. But Hana just won. they should have edited that around, I think. But and then they had the guy announce it, their ring announcer, say, look, if Momo wins, Hana will win. If Mayu wins, she'll move on.
The blocks were kind of screwed up because Jungle Kiona and Utami Hayashishita had to withdraw from the tournament. So maybe that got Mayu confused a bit too.
Yeah, well, Mayu was confused the whole tournament. It's just
she's
like,
always confused.
Yeah, her whole gimmick, every time she would be like, I thought I had 4 points. Oh, wait, I have six. How many matches have I won? Where are we? I don't know. Yeah, that's all for promos. And in one of them, it was funny because you could see her look off camera to try and get clues on what she was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then someone, like, somebody in the background, I think it was Starlight Kid, but somebody was in the background laughing at her. You could hear her. She tried not to crack up at some of her lines that she said. So I enjoyed Iwatani's goofy gimmick for what it was. But how did you think Mayu did in the tournament overall? I thought, you know, she had, of the performers, I thought she was one of the best in-ring workers. You know, I loved her match with Tom Nakano.
Yes.
No bad matches. I don't think she had a single match under 3 stars for me in the tournament. So I really enjoyed her run, one of the most consistent performers. I think she did a great job, but her character wasn't necessarily somebody that I ever thought as a threat to win, was really her downfall. She was almost like the Goto of this tournament. Yeah. It felt like her character wasn't there. But she had all great matches, though.
All great matches, a little bit like Goto. She was, in this tournament setting, she was more of a utility player, to be quite honest, to be there to put over new talent. And it's very interesting that especially with that new talent, she had the best matches, I thought. She had great matches with Tama Nakano, with Hazuki, and with especially Momo Watanabe, maybe my match of the tournament. Not maybe, that is my match of the tournament.
Yeah, I can see on Cage Match, that's the one that is recommended right now. It's got a score of 8.10 among the inmates. So a lot of people really enjoyed that. It's funny because we were watching this again. I think I might have been influenced by the new girl because she really wasn't buying this as much as the other ones, even though we both liked it, thought it was a good match. I think it benefited in a negative way from being after the high intensity of Hana and Hazuki for me, so it really didn't stand out to that level. It was still a really good match, but I think if I watch it on its own, that's a match I'd like to watch on its own later on.
See, I did exactly that because they uploaded the matches. They uploaded the final first, I believe, and then they went to upload the other matches. So I watched the first couple of matches. The first three matches were up like 3 days after the show, and then they continued to upload one match after another. And so I watched this on its own, Momo and Mayu Iwatani. And if you watch it on its own, it's just a great match.
Yeah, I think I totally trust your opinion. And I liked what they did here, just from a technical perspective. I loved what they did here. They had a great match, I would say, for sure. And another great match for Mayu. Like you said, the Tom Nakano match was one of my favorites as well. So I'm not going to disregard this at all. I'm going to rewatch this and give it another shot because I think I underrated it a little bit in my ratings. I love the match with Hazuki Mayu had as well. Tom Nakano, really all of her matches I thought were good. Even Avery, I thought she had Avery's best match of the tournament as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mayu did a great job. Momo, she's an interesting person because a lot of people, predicted her to win. She was the favorite to win the tournament in a lot of ways, even though I actually picked Hana to win because I believe in the contract status of the startup. But Momo, and also the thing that clued me in actually was that Momo got a red belt shot right before the tournament. So that made me feel like she wasn't going to win probably. And I actually think in general, I loved her tournament. I thought she did a great job. I think, though, as an overall like type of character, I think she's lost something since the start of the year with the belt as the champion.
Yeah, and I can't really pinpoint what it is.
Yeah, I know. Me either. She's still a really great worker. But her match with Azumi was awesome.
Yes, best Azumi match, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't really say what it is. She when it's the in-ring part, she was definitely one of the most consistent wrestlers in the tournament. Night in, night out. Had some great matches. Mentioned this one here against Mayu. You mentioned the one against Asumi. That was great.
Her and Hana was a really good match, I thought, too.
Yeah, that was good, too. And then it kind of ends with the in-ring because there is nothing more right now. It feels like maybe, Dylan, the point is that it feels like she is in kind of no man's land right now. She doesn't really have anything going for her, storyline-wise.
Yeah, and I think that's where losing the title hurt her. They didn't really have a real plan to follow up on her because it feels like she passed the torch effectively to Hoshiki, who had all this momentum after she did, and she just kind of like got left behind in some ways. And here, I think she was right. To me, she's right up there with girls like Hazuki, Hana Kimura, Kagetsu. Like, they're all kind of together in my rankings. Like, even Mayu is a little bit above them, but just a little. I think she's right up there with all of those girls. But like you said, just from an interesting standpoint, a character standpoint, I didn't think that she had it. And I really wasn't buying her winning, even though I know everybody was saying that she would. I thought that Hana would win. And that's kind of how it happened. So her promos weren't anything special either, like unlike Tom Nakano's and Hana's.
No.
I thought were good.
You know, maybe it was just more about establishing other wrestlers this time around. Maybe they thought she had her title run, and now others get the push to establish a good base of different women you can count on.
Yeah, and I have no problem with that. Momo was right here near the end. She was still eligible on the last day, so she hardly, it's not like she got de-pushed or anything.
Yeah.
I think she did a great job, and you loved this match too. So a good tournament for Momo. She was definitely up there right around my top 10, but I actually put her, you know, on the last second, because I thought she was ahead of Hazuki for most of the tournament. Hazuki actually overtook her with the Hana match. You know, so great tournament for these girls. I thought they both did a great job in different ways, but I think the character-wise, both of them, really, Mayu and Momo, weren't as interesting as some others. So then we get to the blue stars of the tournament here. This is where you mentioned earlier the injuries. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where the blue stars got totally screwed up with Utami Hayashishita getting injured very early on after only 4 matches. She missed over half her matches. And Jungle got injured after 5 matches. So she's somebody, or well, 6 matches technically. She got injured during the Jamie Hayter match. So really the Blue Stars match had to get reworked probably multiple times in many ways. And who even knows how the original plan was or what the original plan was. And I think it's actually really likely that Jungle would have made it to the finals.
Yeah.
Over Konami. You know, but
I don't think Konami was the plan.
Yeah, me either. I think Jungle would have made it, to be honest, if she had stayed alive. They were setting things up for a perfect final match on this show where Konami faced Jungle. Jungle could have beat Konami and faced Hana in the final match.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the Blue Stars here, we had an interesting match. Natsuko Tora got her first win over Andres Miyagi. And this was a kind of a goofy match. I honestly didn't like this match that much.
I can throw these two women in one hat, basically, and talk about them.
Yeah.
Because they were, in my opinion, on the bottom barrel of the tournament.
Yeah.
I didn't like Natsuko Tora's approach to them, her matches. I didn't like Andras Miyagi's approach to her matches. They were kind of similar. Natsuko, her heel turn worked out well in the beginning, but I'm seriously questioning where this is going to go with her character. I don't know if that heel role is necessarily the best for her. Andras Miyagi, on the other side, when we talked about Sendai Girls, I always said that she has the it factor, but ever since she is in Stardom, it feels like she is a small fish in a very big pond and can't really benefit from what made her stand out in Sendai Girls here in Stardom. So, very unfortunate for both, but I didn't like their tournaments.
No, I thought Miyagi was actually my least favorite wrestler in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because, like you, I was a huge fan of her and Sendai Girls. I thought she has such an interesting look and unique presence to her, as she did in Sendai Girls especially. And here, they've kind of, and like, look at her promo. She said the same stuff every time.
Yes.
I want to show you the real Andres Miyagi.
You know, in Sendai Girls, it stands out much more when you're way different. But in Stardom, everything is very colorful, very flashy. Everybody has a unique character, and then that gets lost in the shuffle.
And I had a nickname for her on the Patreon shows. All my Patreon subscribers out there that listen to the shows will know this. I called her Miss 2.5 Stars.
Yeah.
Because that's how I graded her every single match, except for one, was 2.5 stars. And I thought this was, in fact, 2.5 star match with Natsuko Tora. I don't think there was anything bad, but, you know.
No, nothing else.
As a wrestler, she really didn't bring anything to the table. And, like, just looking at her wrestling, she really didn't bring very much to the table to me. Tora, I have a slight disagreement on. I thought she started out the tournament actually relatively strong. With her match with Kagetsu, who was a standout performer,
yeah,
we'll
that
talk about
was probably a breast match, yes.
Yeah, I thought Hoshiki was a good match, and I thought Jungle was a good match. I thought all three of those matches were good. She fell off. I mean, those are three of the top workers,
sure,
to be fair. But after that, she fell off a little. But I will say this. I think, actually, this character is saving her because she's much better as a brawler than as a pure wrestler,
that's true,
in my opinion.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, I don't think if she was like a natural wrestler, we saw it last year. To me, she really wasn't standing out as an in-ring character. Mm-hmm. She's got great character work. I think she's got something to her. But then you look, and I thought even in her backstage segments, she was one of the better promos as well, especially in Blue Stars, in terms of not saying the same stuff over and over. She did have a gimmick where she would talk quietly. She was what I like to call the Psycho Sid gimmick of talking quietly, then getting very loud at the end and shoving her face in the camera, which I very much appreciated. But you look at her look, it's like she comes out wearing pajamas, pretty much, has a wild brawling gimmick. I think that's going to be hard to get over in this company. I think Miyagi, I mentioned it on the Patreon too, I think you can lump both of them in. They don't really fit in that well with the company right now. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like a square peg in a round hole. In a lot of ways. But I think Tora was definitely better than Miyagi. And like the first half of the tournament, she really surprised me with how good she was because I really wasn't a big fan of hers as a wrestler. I kind of like her, but as a wrestler, I wasn't a huge fan. And she kind of came back down to earth by the end. But still, honestly, she was about better than I expected, to be honest with you, but not a top performer either, I would agree. And I think Miyagi really didn't bring in much to the table at all. So Tora got her win. This was a goofy match. Natsusumire was on the outside, interfered with the Waito Tai boards that they brought to the ring, and led to Tora finally getting a win. The next match was all the matches didn't matter until the last Blue Star match, which we'll get to. I thought it was really interesting that Miyagi, of all the people, got the one-time limit during the tournament over Konami, and I didn't think that was a smart decision to have her go 15 minutes. But next match was a smart decision to go 15 minutes because we had Kagetsu and Arisa Hoshiki in the tournament. This went to the full 15-minute time limit draw. A great format for any tournament, I feel like, to limit the matches to 15 minutes.
Absolutely.
In general.
Maybe 20, yeah, think, but that's good too. Yeah. 15 is good too.
Yeah, 15, especially for Stardom, I think the 15 works really well. I accompany lots of high-speed wrestlers.
Yes, exactly.
Like that.
And this one was a high-speed match too. Going while at the same time going 15 minutes, but these are two wrestlers that you can do it with. They can wrestle for 15 minutes and don't repeat themselves all the time. And what helped the match too was that Kagetsu got increasingly desperate throughout the match, and the same goes for Arisa Hoshiki, because neither one was able to put away the other to get a victory out of this one. So that worked really well for the match.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it made total sense as well for Kagetsu to really push the pace, because to her the match meant more, since a win for her, or a draw as it would turn out, would mean a title shot in the future for her, rather than Hoshiki, who was more like playing defense in the match. So I thought it was a really well-structured match. And just, like, these two, to me, were two of the top performers in-ring, like, in terms of consistency, for sure. Getsu especially really impressed me. Hoshiki, I was riding huge on. I thought she was riding a huge wave of momentum going into the tournament with Jungle, the Jungle match, Hazuki match, which was a great freaking match. Like, that was such an underrated match, I feel like, that Hazuki versus Arisa Hoshiki match.
It's funny, though, that even though she was riding this high, I figured that the tournament was not as good. We talked about this in our DMs a couple of weeks ago. The tournament that she had was not as good as her title defensive that she had. But that was very hard to follow along because those matches were so outstanding. So she kind of... It's unfortunate that she was... It's unfortunate, in quotation marks, that she was so good so early in the year. And this tournament was very good too, but not as great as her title defenses.
Yeah, it's like outside of one or two matches, maybe. Like, nobody was as good as those title defenses in the tournament, though. So, like I said, I didn't hold it against her that much. I actually thought, in terms of just the rating average, as we know, the Pure Star rating and all that, she was the top-ranked performer for me, just because of her seven matches, five scored over at 3.5 or 7 out of 10. And even her, you know, matches that I didn't love, someone like Natsuko Tora had one of her best matches against her. Someone like Jamie Hayter had one of her best matches against her. You know, I think everything she did was really on point. And I thought her best match was actually against Utami. She was one of the few that got to wrestle Utami in the tournament. And I thought that match was awesome. So really good tournament for her. Kagetsu actually surprised me a little bit because she's another one of these that had, you know, she had a long red belt reign, carried it forever. It felt like, honestly, she got super overshadowed by Momo in her white belt reign. And then, obviously, you know, she lost it to B. Mm-hmm. But ever since then, she's really been mid-card, not really been focused on that much. But here in this tournament, I thought she was the glue of Blue Block that had went through so many injuries, both of these two, really. But Kagetsu, another one, much like Hoshiki, the thing that stood out for me for both of them is the consistency they had in the tournament. No bad matches, and I thought they had some great ones as well. Kagetsu actually, you know, she had a great match with Jungle.
Yes,
I thought that was
my favorite match besides this one against Arisa Hoshiki, probably.
Yeah. And you know, Kagetsu had a great tournament. She was fourth overall in my rankings besides Mayu, Tom, and Hoshiki. But I think you could make the case they were right on the same level. I never bought either of them winning the tournament or anything like that. But still, I thought for wrestling, they brought it.
I think Kagetsu's matches were the longest in the entire tournament when I look at it here. Two matches that were under 10. One against Jamie Hayter was 4:13, and one against Natsuko Tora was 8:48. All other matches between 11 and 15 minutes. Interesting stuff, but Kagetsu, as you said, one of the consistent wrestlers on the roster, and she is a wrestler that can easily have these kind of matches.
Yeah, she was the girl's favorite of everyone in the tournament as well. So winning over new fans right now, Kagetsu. Hoshiki, of note as well, something that I think won me over too. She was the only person to have a match above 2.5 stars with Miyagi. I thought she had the best main event match with Miyagi. That Kagetsu and Miyagi match was so disappointing. Not Kagetsu's fault, but they were in the main event in Sendai, and I think it didn't really click at all.
No.
Yeah, but still, great tournament for Jungle. The semi-main event of this show, who would determine who would face Hana Kimura in the finals? Bea Priestley beat Jamie Hayter. And these are two very interesting people for us to talk about, if you like. But the match was okay. I thought it was a solid match, you know, yeah. 3 stars, 6 out of 10 type of match, but nothing too special. What did you think of Jamie's run in the tournament? Because last year was her first tournament. She got really over to a lot of Stardom fans. And this year she had to follow it up. And how did you think that she did in this tournament? You watched every match. What did you think of Jamie Hayter?
I think she is a great character. And I think for all the foreigners in this tournament, she benefited the most from this. She has, again, we can go back to the backstage segments before the matches. Hers were always very interesting, always different. She is very charismatic, and she really wants this to work out for her. She has adapted to the Japanese style very much, not only the wrestling, but also cultural. In cultural aspect, she is really working with the company, and it's working for her too. So I'm really looking forward to her being in a more prominent role in the future, because I think she is very, very good. But from the very good as a whole package, you know, not like great technical wrestler like Mayu or Arisa Hoshiki, but still very good and very young too, 24 years old. So the future, I think, looks very good for her.
Yeah, totally agree with her character work. She had some very entertaining promos. Again, as I mentioned, there were a couple that I thought were too much like bees and rambling too much. But then when she cut it down, she was like super charismatic and awesome. And she had one. Sometimes she did one without even saying anything, when she had this ridiculous looking meditation pose that she did after she lost her match, and I think she got eliminated. She did this ridiculous meditation pose and then just yelled "fuck" at the end and stormed off. It was very funny how she did it. She has great presence on her entrance as well. You mentioned it with Avery. But I think it was double so with Jamie Hayter at her entrance. Tosses the belt in the ring. She's adopted the gimmick of trying to get the fans to clap for her, I feel like. And she's showing a lot here to where I feel like they are kind of turning her, not turning her, but like giving her a character change. And we saw it after this match where B wanted to team with her, even though they were in different factions. She wanted the crowd to cheer for her. She got the fans to fan her off sometimes. In ring, I didn't love her tournament, to be honest. I thought of these guys, these girls, they were really, she didn't stand out to me compared to some other ones. I thought she had some good matches. Though I really liked her match with Konami. I thought that was a good match for her. Probably her my favorite match that she had. But not a standout. B is a very interesting performer as well because I think you hit the nail on the head. Ultimately, Hayter, she benefited from the tournament, and I think this is a chance for her to grow. B is the red belt champion currently and a very controversial performer among Stardom fans. What did you make of her? You know, and you're a Stardom fan. I consider you a fan, but you're not a super in-depth follower. Like no. I said, you follow all the companies. But what was your take on B? I don't think you had the passion towards her one way or the other, so you can kind of grade her more fairly than someone with an emotional reaction. So what did you think of B Priestley in the tournament?
So I'm not a fan that will watch every Shinkiba show that there is, that Stardom does, but I will watch most of the Kurikans. And I watched everything, as we talked about here. I watched everything from this tournament. And I can go back to the Kurikans from, like, May and June. And they were always headlined by a red belt title match. And those red belt title matches always left something on the table in comparison to the white belt title matches. They were much, much better. And that is something that continued in this tournament. The top champion of the company did not have the best matches. And not only that, again, harking on the backstage segments, she always ends her backstage segments with bow down to the fucking queen, and I can't hear that anymore. I'm done with that.
You can't take it anymore.
No. No. Okay. Dude, that line has to go. Yeah. And, yeah, so
show too. She said it again in the promo. She said it twice on the show.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. so yeah, it's. I'm not the biggest B Priestley fan, but I can see that she has become better over time. She's a better wrestler than she was 2 years ago, definitely. But I do think that the position she is in is too big for her right now. She's considered to be the top gaijin. That's what she calls herself. Not necessarily, I wouldn't call that myself, to be honest. I wouldn't go by the word gaijin if I described myself, but nah, that's what she does.
Yeah. That's a great point on your part.
Yeah. Must be weird for the Japanese crowd to see those women call themselves gaijin.
I know. You know, it is what it is. That's been going on for decades.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said. But so, her tournament was okay, but didn't blow, not a blow-away tournament in any kind of way. So I don't know. She is okay, but not more. I don't really love her matches. I don't like her character very much. She doesn't do a lot for me.
Yeah, and I think in this tournament in general, there was like a top probably 10 or 11 performers that were at a big level, like a top level, and then there were probably 6 or 7 that either didn't blow us away or maybe were more like they didn't have the chance to be, like, you know, Saki Kashima or Sumire, that weren't top performers but did good in their roles, mm-hmm. or Jamie Hayter even. And then there were a couple that were just on that level but didn't really have a particular role other than her role, which is the champion. And I think that's a bad place to be when you're not one of the top performers and you're the world champion. Mm. That's kind of, you know, that's hard for her. I thought she had some good matches. I liked her match with Kagetsu. I think that was her best match of the tournament, to be honest. She had a couple of good ones, a couple of not-so-good ones, I thought, where she was lackluster. Her match with Tora, I thought, was not a good match at all, actually. They were right on the same level for me. Tora and B Like, they each, you know, were at the same level in completely different styles, because Toro was more of a brawler and B was more of the champion. But I don't think in this company there was probably, like, you know, there's probably like 10 people that are ahead of her in terms of work rate, you know, pure wrestling. More of a champion. She, you know, you're right. Her character really isn't a championship level, I feel like. And do you think that she's better off as... Because I also think that sometimes her character can change in-ring from either a heel type of character, an invading gaijin, I guess you could say, or like and then there are some matches where she had to be on the receiving end and sell a lot on there. So it's like, what is your character really? Are you gaining sympathy, or are you the invader, you know, sometimes?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know. I agree with you, though. Ultimately, I'm not too down on her. I thought she had, you know, she's had some good matches here and there. But the problem is, I think you said it right away. This really isn't her fault. I think this is more so them pushing her too hard when she's not ready. She didn't get really any build-up to win the red belt. I felt like she could have used a lot more time. I feel like this is something that maybe if this had happened next year, she had a good run here. She wasn't the champion. And then they finally pulled the trigger on her. I think that would have worked a lot better. Yeah,
no way to go back now from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, like, it reminds me a lot of, like, well, Tony Storm's gone, so we need another gaijin.
Yes.
And look what we have.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, you know, and that's why it comes across a little forced to me. So, okay tournament, but wasn't a huge fan compared to some others. And she doesn't have the character that someone like Jamie does. After the match, though, they announced they would be teaming as a team in the tag Grand Prix. So that's a little interesting storyline. They have two different groups, one from Queen's Quest and one's from Oedo Tai, and they team together now. So interesting story there. We'll see how they do as a team. I think this is a team that could really benefit both, or they could not mesh, and like their weaknesses meld with each other's weaknesses, and it drags them both down, I feel like. So that's going to be a very interesting team. But in the end, before we get to the tournament final, I want to talk about some other people that weren't on the show here due to injury and other things. So we'll just go ahead and start now. Somebody that wasn't on the show, Azumi. Originally, she was a replacement for Casey Owens, who had visa issues from Ireland. The 16-year-old came into the tournament as a replacement, and I thought she well overexceeded any expectations, both in wrestling and points. She got a bunch of wins in this tournament. I was very surprised by that.
In hindsight, it is crazy to think that she was not planned to be in this tournament, because, as you said, she was always one of the highlights on the shows, always having consistently good matches, which is crazy to think about when you look at her age, that she is so consistent already. And she also had two very good matches with Mayu Iwatani and Momo Watanabe. Like, yeah. She, again, this tournament did a lot for a lot of people. Not for, like, for Bea Priestley, as we said, but it elevated a lot of people from their position up to another tier. And that happened for Azumi as well. And unfortunate that Casey Owens couldn't be there, but for Azumi, this was an opportunity. She took the ball and ran with it.
Absolutely. I think she, again, you're totally right. I was telling somebody this on Twitter as well, my man PA on Twitter, we were talking about it, and I basically said, I think she, you know, he was saying that she gained the most from the tournament, and I was like, I would have argued she's already there, she just hadn't had the opportunity.
Sure,
and then
yeah.
She had then she did have the opportunity, and she totally delivered. That match with Momo was a great match. That got a ton of buzz. I think they put that for free on the YouTube, even when
have
that happened.
Have you seen the Stardom documentary? From the Viceland
yes.
documentaries. I thought it was very interesting to see that Rossi Ogawa was very down on her, especially because she isn't the most charismatic, apparently, on the merch table and doesn't sell a lot of merch, which is probably why she didn't get the opportunities now, up until now. And I'm so glad for her that she's now in this position that she gets the opportunity.
Yeah, I did a whole show about that with WH. We talked about the whole documentary. And that was like one of my least favorite parts when he was kind of – that's to me, just to reiterate what I said, that's not something you say publicly to me. Like,
yeah.
Even if you believe that.
I don't know how that happens.
I wasn't I wasn't a fan of that at all. And he was bigging up Starlight Kid, who 2 years after that documentary was shot was not in the tournament, but Azumi as the replacement was. So, and I think she got very over to the crowd, and I like her. And you know, maybe at the merch table she's not charismatic, but in her promos I thought she did a great job. She even got to cut a pro match one time saying she's coming for all the grannies. Everybody's super old, they're super slow. Even Hanakamura is a granny in Azumi's world. I think she's a great all around talent. And the sky is like you said, she's been wrestling for so long now. I remember watching her when she was like a little kid, 11, 12 years old. I think she started when she was 12. I remember when she first came in, she had the Azumi's Army run where she had leather gloves and shades on, aviator shades. She was goofy and awesome.
Yeah, she's been wrestling since 2013. 6 years now.
See, look at she started when she was that. She must have been 10 years old when that happened.
Yep.
So I remember watching her in those days, and it's crazy how much she's improved and grown. Like you said, it feels like she's a veteran and she's only 16 now.
She is.
So, I thought she did a great job in the tournament. I loved what she brought to the table. Definitely a top 10 performer. Utami.
Yeah.
Only 4 matches, but I thought her match with Hoshiki was really great. Like I said, there's not a lot to say because unfortunately her injury took her out pretty early. And
That's basically everything that there is to say about her. A great match with Arisa Hoshiki, as you could expect, and also a very good match against Konami. But then after that, she was injured. What do you think her role would have been in the tournament?
I think she would have been for sure in play for the final day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jungle would have made it. No, not her. Like I said, I think Utami could have, though. I think it's definitely possible because you had this story of her making it the last year in her first run. So her making it would have made a lot of sense. I definitely think she would have been a contender to win if she wouldn't have won the blue block.
Kind of took it in the similar way that either her or Jungle Kiona would have been in the final. Unfortunately, both were injured. Hayashihita, her matches, good stuff. Jungle, on the other hand, she came off of this great match that she had into the tournament. And, her role? Jungle also played a very good role in this tournament. You mentioned it. Natsuko Tora, the more that I think about the match, the more I like the match, because it really portrayed the hatred that they have for one another very well. Yeah, unfortunate for her because she has had a great year with the matches against Momo Watanabe and Arisa Hoshiki. Arisa Hoshiki, the match that is probably one of the best matches I've seen all year.
Yeah, that was definitely a match of the year candidate. Sure.
Not only for Yoshi wrestling, but for wrestling in general.
Yes, I agree.
So she was riding a high, like many others were in this tournament, and she could have made a real big step forward in the perception of Stardom fans. Because I think that a lot of people still look at her as kind of a mid-card, to upper mid-card level person. Because in title matches, you really never think that Jungle Kiona is winning. But if she had made it to the finals here, she would have lost to Hana Kimura, of course. The perception could have changed for her and could have changed for a better position on the cards going forward. But now that she's injured, maybe she'll get another attempt next year to make it to the finals. I hope so for her. That this is just a delayed push for her because of her injury. Otherwise, she also had very good matches in this tournament. The one against Kagetsu stuck out the most for me.
I totally agree. And that's the saddest part because that was her last match before she got injured in her match versus Hater. And she was almost like the Hazuki of the blue block because she started off with like Miyagi. Not her fault, but some matches that really didn't stand out. And suddenly she had these back-to-back matches with Tora and Kagetsu. And it's like, oh, like you're one of the top performers in this tournament. That's right. Like I said, and she was really winding up to have a huge finishing stretch. I think she would have been right up there for MVP if she would have stayed healthy. Unfortunately, the match with Jamie didn't really, She had that unfortunate injury there.
Yeah,
And
and that was really uncomfortable to watch too, the finish of this match.
Jamie did her best. I want to give
Sure,
her credit.
yeah, she did.
I just want to say something about that, because if you look at that, she immediately basically turned this into a crab hold,
Exactly.
and you could hear Kiona yell out in pain, and she let go of the leg to only make it easier, just have a single leg crab. You can see the ref talking to her, and who knows what was said, but immediately had to stop the match. And it's like, I felt so bad for Jamie in that situation, because it's like, you want to check on her, but you also have to be like, you have to stay in character, kind of. So it's like, just get the hell out of there as fast as possible. So that, I thought Jamie did a really professional job of that for a young wrestler. So shout out to that. Unfortunately for Jungle, though, that was it.
Yeah, she's returning on October 29, I believe. So the injury. What's the injury? Did they announce that?
It was a shoulder injury. I don't remember
Okay.
what exactly it was. Was
Okay.
it a full dislocation? It may have been some kind of partial. She's coming back that soon. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
But I like the
Dislocated
recovery.
shoulder, yeah.
Yeah, it was a dislocated shoulder. That's what I thought. Well, that's wild that she's coming back so fast from it. She must be healing good. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy that she's going to be okay. But I actually loved everything about her. Her wrestling style is so awesome to me. She's adopted my move, the Mexican Stretch Buster, into her moveset. So that alone immediately makes her my number one favorite in wrestling. I called it the Senegalese Stretch Buster when she does it, though. I passed the torch to her on that one. Love her moveset. Great worker. I like her whole gimmick, her entrance attire. She has great presence to her. She has the gun that she comes out with now. Her promos all have gun stuff in them now, bang bang, and all of that stuff.
This Renegade group overall, Tokyo Cyber Squad, has done a lot for these women, especially for Jungle Kiona and for Konami.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. The part where she even against her last promo against Jamie was awesome. She spoke in English. She bless her. She said, "Jamie, you're going to die." It was awesome. Jungle, we love you. Get well soon, Jungle. But that led to the finals of the tournament with someone we haven't talked about yet. We mentioned her a bunch, but Konami here in the final, she would lose to Hana Kimura in just over 14 minutes. What did you make of Konami's tournament here? You mentioned before you didn't think that she would be the finalist, and neither do I, in all honesty. But how did you think she did in her tournament here?
First of all, I talked about Bea Priestley and her line that I can't take them that line anymore. Konami, she can say her line all the time, and I don't mind. The
Okay,
try.
first of all, let me just right there. I love your listen, there's total bias going on right now, and I completely approve of this because that line is awesome. Okay, so continue. What is the line? Tell us straight.
Yes, the triangle answer, 100% winning rate. And that is a great gimmick for her because honestly, she is a good wrestler and she's also, yeah, she has kind of a good gimmick now with the Tokyo Cyber Squad, but except for that, she doesn't have very much going for her. But with this gimmick now, they found something that totally fits her and that she can run with. And so that worked out for her. I thought her tournament was okay. Wasn't blown away by most of her matches, except for maybe the Hayashishita one, but then again, there is Hayashishita in the match.
Yeah, that was her best match for me as well,
Yeah,
I
and then
thought.
we have the Arisa Hoshiki match that was good too. Except for that, nothing outstanding, I thought. So I didn't really have her picked for the finals. For that reason only. And yeah, I don't know about you or if this is a hot take, but I was totally disappointed with the final.
It was such a, especially again, maybe I'll think about this better, but you said you didn't like it anyway, but I thought this was such a lesser match than Hana and Hazuki
Totally.
in there. Yeah,
After I
so.
saw the Hana and Hazuki match, I thought, maybe we're getting another Hana Kimura singles match that can only be great. But then we got this match that was not great and that had a totally lame finish.
Yeah, like I said, you know, Hana, and what was that finish, Striga?
It was the submission hold that Hana locked in, and the cameras didn't shoot or didn't catch Konami tapping, or the, no, she didn't tap, but she had did a, I think she did a verbal submission, but the cameras didn't catch that, which is very, very unfortunate for your final of the tournament, and makes it kind of look bad. So that confused me why the ref stopped the match, especially at that point of the match. I didn't really think that the finish would be coming right around then, because I thought the match would still go on a little bit longer, but it didn't. So very anticlimactic finish.
Even when we were watching it again, me and girl, she immediately said what had happened. She was like, "What happened? Did she
Yeah,
tap out? What happened?"
exactly.
Pretty much. And I was like, "Yeah, she won! Yay!" on there, like Hana, yay! Yeah, I just thought it was such a lesser match than the Hana and Hazuki match, and I agree with you, probably lesser than the Momo and Mayu match. And I even thought the Tom and Saki match was actually better than the finals, even though it was 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that was like one of the best under 5 minute matches of the year, to be fair. But still, I thought it was better than this, for sure. And Konami, really, this was her chance to, because she's somebody that, like Jungle, who has had doubters, in terms of her getting a big push. She's always been someone that I personally have felt is underrated in the company. And this was her chance to shine, and I don't think she took it fully. I would say this about her tournament. I agree with you that Utami was her best match. To me, I thought there were, as I mentioned, 11 people that were standout performers, and she was in that group, but she was the 11th one,
Yeah.
out of the group. She was up there. She was top tier, but only because there were so many others ahead of her. She was right around to me. She would be just under like Azumi, and a little bit below Momo and Hazuki and those girls, and maybe Hana as well. So. Yeah, I completely agree with your thoughts here on Konami. I thought she had a good tournament, better than, some of the others we talked about, but not a true, like, she never threatened the MVP candidacy for me in my tournament. So what'd you think of Hana's tournament overall? She won the thing, so she obviously benefited from it a lot. She was my pick to win from the beginning, and I think that, how do you think that she came across winning the tournament and just her performances?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I think about the tournament that she had, I don't think of any particular match because I didn't think that anything in particular stood out that she did in ring. But everything else totally works for her. Her character, her new unit, her new look, the promos that she does, and her presence is also outstanding. So everything is clicking except for having great matches. And I can see Stardom getting behind her for these reasons because it's very important to have someone in this position that is very charismatic and can draw a good crowd. And I think that goes to show that Hana's victory in the end got a big approval by the fans. After her victory, the promo that she had, the fans were right behind her. But except for that, in ring, she didn't blow anything. She didn't blow me away. So it was good, but not outstanding.
I think they recognized that early on with her 8 second match with Saki. She was the one that kind of took the ball. I thought she had the worst Tom Nakano match on the first night. I will say this though, I thought her last 3 nights she really showed me more than I ever saw from her. To be honest with you, because I've never really thought of her as a great worker by any means. But I thought her match with Mayu was really strong. I main evented to show her match with Momo, the day show, I thought was another strong match. And this Hazuki match, to me, was the best match of her career, hands down. Like, in my opinion, I thought that was the best match of the tournament. So she did have a couple of standout performances to me, but those were all against great workers as well. If you put her against other people, she didn't, even someone like Konami, who wasn't at that top-tier level, maybe, like you said, it didn't really impress me too much or go out of the way to blow us away. So I see where you're coming from. I thought she benefited a lot from the tournament, and she did actually a lot better in ring than I thought, just because maybe my expectations were lower. The last three matches really cinched it for me that she had a good tournament and she was up there on that, you know, top 11 tier, I guess you could say. But I agree with you. It's more about her promos, her charisma in the ring. She has a ton. Her look that she has is obviously very important in Stardom. What do you think of, you know, I love her entrance where she had the gas mask and everything. Totally stands out. She had a light-up sword at first and then used Jungle's gun in the end as tribute. She stole the gun from Jungle, so was not a fan of this gimmick. I know it was a tribute, but still. You know, I like her for what she is, but I don't think she'll ever be one of my favorites on the roster, but I think she's a lot better now than she used to be. If this had happened a year ago, I think I would have been. It would have been a lot worse.
Oh yeah.
To be honest.
Oh yeah. I can imagine.
See, but you always liked her, though. That's the thing. I'm exposing Striga right now. Hana was always one of his favorites in Joshi.
Yeah, she like is. She is. I love to watch her. I just don't think that she is as outstanding in the ring as, for example, Arisa Hoshiki, Utami Hayashishita, or Mayu Iwatani are.
I agree. I agree with that as well. You know, she had a good tournament, but yeah, below some of these other girls, I would say. At the end of the show, B came out. Well, Hana called her out pretty much, and she had a hell of a time trying to get this cape on that they had for her. It fell off like twice.
Oh, that was so awkward. And they were so intent of having this robe on her. They tried to tie it to her shoulder somehow, and it always fell off because Hana, she had to hold on to this ridiculously big crown that looks totally goofy, because that would have fell off otherwise. Not a good look.
Yeah, she had to hold on to the oversized crown. The cape wouldn't stay on. They tried their damnedest to get it on. They finally tied it probably around her neck. She probably had trouble breathing how tight they had to tie it. And yeah, they finally did this photo shoot, and she actually had to cut a promo in this attire, which was awesome. So she deserves credit right away for pulling this stupid stuff off.
Yeah.
Definitely, my advice to Stardom would be to invest in a normal-sized crown that they can stay on, and possibly get some Velcro for the cape, I would say.
Yeah.
But B came out, they cut a promo, B got in her face all angry. She said, "You'll bow down to the fucking queen." So I know you love that. And then Hana called her bitch Priestley, which the line of the night for sure from Hana Kimura.
And Hana talked to B in English, and B talked to Hana in Japanese, which got a good reaction too.
That did. That was clever. I like that. Whoever set that up, or whoever's idea that was very smart, I would say. That was awesome. Great promo. So overall, the tournament. Hana wins, got a great reaction, as you said, came across as a superstar. Overall in the tournament, and here after, we'll get to the awards as well. Maybe we'll throw some awards our way when we pick. But as always, like the Tokyo Sports Awards we do on the Eastern Lariat, some of these are vague, so you have to make up your own definitions, kind of. So they gave the Fighting Spirit Award to Jamie Hayter, actually. So she got an award. You don't agree with this?
Not sure that she was the fiery wrestler of the tournament. Not sure that.
Yeah, that doesn't really fit her at all.
No.
Like, I feel like, yeah, she was hardly the, you know, lay it all on the line, super heart type of wrestler. I don't think that was really her role at all. Who do you think would be a better fit for that?
Tam Nakano.
I thought so too. Yeah, she's the one that gets the most emotion out of matches, even above like Mayu and Hoshiki. I think Nakano fills that role well. And outstanding performance actually went to Tom as well, which I thought makes.
I can see that.
That was fair, I would say. Who would you say? Would it be Tom or would it be somebody else?
Outstanding performance besides Tom Nakano. Kagetsu did get an award too, right? What did she get?
Yeah, Best Bout with Jungle.
Best Bout, yeah. So I can also see Kagetsu getting the Outstanding Performance Award, but also Momo Watanabe had great matches too. So, yeah.
There were a few contenders for that. You know, you could go a bunch of different ways. I would probably have given – I would, if I were you – or if I were you, like, you made this decision for a startup. If I were them and this was an official awards, I would have given Tom the Fighting Spirit and Hushky the Outstanding Performance Award for me. Best Technical Wrestler, Azumi won this, which I think in general the technical wrestler standpoint of wrestling companies is different than our version. But I thought Azumi, for what she did with her high-speed matches and a lot of the moves that she used, I thought that was a good pick. Who would you say for technical wrestler?
Technical wrestler, either Arisa Hoshiki or Mayu Iwatani.
Yeah, I thought so too. Like, those would be my pick. I think Utami would have won this if she had stayed.
Yeah,
so that would be fine. Like I said, Azumi, I get where they're coming from on it, so no problems with that. I would probably give that to Hoshiki too. Best Bout, Kagetsu and Jungle Kiyonuma, which was a top tier match, I would say. Was it your favorite though was Momo and Mayu?
Exactly. Yeah. But that was a very good match too.
Yeah, that was a great match. That was definitely up there in the top five. I'd probably pick Hana and Hazuki as mine. That had the most fair to me. So all in all, what did you think of the tournament? Booking wise, wrestling wise, how did you like watching it, Street?
I really liked following it. Especially after we got rid of these complications that we had in the middle of the tournament and they started up putting matches again. In comparison to other tournaments that we have watched recently, you said it, the 15-minute time limit is so good to follow along with a tournament like this. And also the very short matches that they have are so good to be able to follow along with a very long tournament like this here. Other companies could really also look at Stardom and say, hey, they are doing this format. It's really working well for both the wrestlers and the fans. Let's copycat that. And that was a very big plus. And another big plus was how they used the tournament setting to elevate wrestlers to a better position. So they didn't have a tournament for the sake of having a tournament. They used the tournament format to make their wrestlers be bigger stars. And they did it very well, especially for wrestlers like Azumi. That worked out very well. So overall, a big win for Stardom.
Yeah, I think so too. I honestly enjoyed this as much or more than pretty much any of the other tournaments we've watched this year, men's or women's. And we've watched all of them.
We watched all of them. We are the Will Ospreay of watching tournaments.
Yes, when it comes to watching tournaments, we've done all of them. Hell, we even watched the Dragon Gate tournament, King of Gates. So I enjoyed this one more than those, to be honest with you. And I'll tell you why. Somebody brought this up just yesterday, even before our show released, where we talked about it. But he was saying that the NOAH tournament was better than the G1 because maybe the top tier matches weren't as strong, but the overall thing was better. The overall format was better. And they only had 10 people, so that was their way of fighting that.
Yeah,
And that's
what I said when NOAH booked the tournament initially.
Yeah. And I think that point applies to this too, where ultimately the thing that I loved about this tournament, first of all the matches were short. You could follow it along easily. It was a lot of fun to watch. It didn't feel like, you know, I was wanting to fast forward through anything or anything like that. Even if it was something I didn't like the Miyagi matches that much, they all ended in 5, 6, 7 minutes, not like 25 Jay White matches, you know, 25-minute matches. You know, I also think they cut out a lot of the stuff, too, in this tournament, as well as the NOAH tournament. I think both of those were the most enjoyable to watch for me because there was no Bad Luck Fale in this tournament. There was no Gianni Valletta or Daichi Hashimoto in the tournament. You know, like those guys, there was nobody like that. Even the worst ones, Miyagi, Avery, whoever you want to say, they were still pretty all right. Like they weren't bad by any means. Their matches were short. They did okay. There's nothing I was like, I wanted to pull my hair out at something crazy happening that made everything look stupid. The closest we got was the Sumire, you know, match, which was mostly just licking. You know, that's not necessarily unrealistic. It's just unhygienic. And so that bothered me. I don't know about you. I may be alone in my hygiene feelings, but you know, everything
not as down on the licking as you are.
Okay, just in the sense of
not a fan, but not as down as you.
Okay, just in the pro wrestling sense, I have to draw the line somewhere, you know. But you know, I thought it was a really good tournament, and like you said, I think it benefited a lot of people. The booking in it, you have to give a credit to whoever booked this, whoever was involved with this, because of the injuries. Right away, you had things thrown through a loop with Casey Owens going out with the visa injury, or the visa issues. Then you have, I have many visa injuries as well.
Yes.
So me and you can relate. But besides that, the injury issues with Utami and Jungle Kiona, they still made things work in a way that made sense. You still had the faction battle, which I think is what they were going to go for with Jungle. The final wasn't as great, and that's another thing about the tournament. Whether it's any tournament, the final is never the best match or something that really caps it off, and I feel like this was another case of that. The overall tournament, though, like you said, it benefited everybody, so shout-outs to Stardom. I really enjoyed this tournament overall. I thought it was great stuff, and there were some great matches in there. It wasn't like there were 10 Match of the Year candidates or anything like that, but a lot of the matches were really strong, and a lot of performers really stepped up here. So with that said, the Stardom tournament has been in the books, and we'll see what happens the next month where we have the Tag League coming up in October. So more tournaments to follow for all of us who follow all the wrestling companies, much like myself. I don't know, if you stick around for that, maybe we'll do a show that in.
Yeah, I won't stick around. I got Stardom World now for the 2 months that the tournament was on, and that was a very good investment that I made, because I also got the Great Kurikan Hall show for August 10, mm-hmm. and all the matches from the tournament, obviously. But now, you know, it's nothing against Stardom. The Tag League, I'm not always into the Goddesses of Stardom Tag League as much as others are probably. I'm not that big of a Stardom fan. I'll probably return at the end of the year for another month or the beginning of the year. So Stardom World is always a good investment for the what's it, 850 yen or something that you have to pay. That's very, very good. Very good amount of money. It's not too expensive to get a month of Stardom World. So I will not be returning for the month of October, because there's other stuff going on that I will have to invest my time in. And as we all know, it's not always easy to navigate everything. But I definitely enjoyed this run of me watching Stardom World.
I'm glad you joined us. Maybe you'll be around for the year in Climax or something like that. If you join the year, maybe start of next year, like you said. But I'm glad you stuck around. I will say this before your subscription ends, I do have a public service announcement. If you do have Stardom World, they just uploaded something that I hope that they continue to do more of, which is non-wrestling videos. They had a video series of Arisa Hoshiki and Saki Kashima traveling to Cebu, where the first video was them at a gun range, which
I'm going to watch that immediately.
they were just off and their target practice, but in the most beautiful way. And like I said, it was so bad, it was glorious. they uploaded another video where I think they went snorkeling based on the photo they used, the cover photo. So highly recommend Saki and Arisa in Cebu, the two-part video series they have. Hopefully they can do that, and they start translating some of these too. I think that would be great for everybody to hear. Like that kind of stuff is what really made Stardom World so cool in the first place, where they had like the Jenkin tournament and the pillow parties or whatever they had, or whatever that was, pajama parties. And you know, they translated these, they spoke in English, it was a really cool thing. And I'd like to see more of that on the Stardom World, because I think that's the thing that separates them from the other services out there, is that they do have these translations where you can follow along the storylines and things like that, more so than an All Japan or, you know, or something like that. But still, the other companies are starting to catch up now, but I still think Stardom's got the best one in terms of English-friendly things. So highly recommend that before your subscription ends, Trig, if anything else. And so I recommend it to all of you, the listeners out there as well. Striga, what do you have to say? This is your first appearance on Pure Heart. my own spin-off show. I was so happy to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time, man. I know it's getting late there, but where can everybody find you on Twitter? And you do run a website about wrestling, I've heard. This is a rumor I've heard.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's great that I was on this show, and it's something different that you now took the leadership of, or the leadership of the show, the anchor role of the show, in comparison to our regular show, where I tend to be the be more in the anchoring role. It was fun to change the roles here, and I really enjoyed being on PR Pure Laird. I hope that you'll be able to get some more very interesting guests like you did in the past. It has already become a show that people really watch out for when it gets up, especially when you get interviews, which you did twice now already in the very young history of the show. So kudos to you. You're doing a great job with this show. I am happy to have been on here, and maybe in the future again when we talk about different companies like Sendai Girls, Seed Ring, or even Ice Ribbon.
I would love to do that, and yes, I'm working on something on the interview front. We'll see how that goes, and special guests as well. Like I said, everything's cool at that end. And I really appreciated having you on. Follow him on Twitter at Striga.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah, Striga. You see, I don't forget Striga. I always, follow me on Twitter at Dylan Zero Sky. Spell it out, DylanZeroSky. Check us out on our regular show, The Eastern Lariat, which we both happen to be on and regularly appear on, our pride and joy in the wrestling world, as well as your site, cagematch.net, which is another pride and joy, great resource for wrestling. I always have it on any show that I do. I always have it uploaded in the background so I can check on stats real quick or see something happening. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. The 5-star coverage is done, but I'll definitely do something for the Tag League and other assorted shows as well.
Yes, there will be other sort of shows once I get a little bit more time. We, the two of us, have something in the works already for the $5 tier, so watch out for that. Maybe in the month of October.
That's right, $1, $3, and $5 tiers. The Three Musketeers.
Yeah.
See that pun? Yeah. Oh, and Big Hosh level tiers, Hashimoto level tiers. Thank you, everybody who listened to the show. I always appreciate it. Let me know what you think. Let Striga know what you think if you enjoyed his opinions on Stardom. I think we had a pretty comprehensive coverage of the tournament. Gave you a nice meaty show here. And check out Broken by the Scream. It's going to send us out. Until next time, sayonara.
Goodbye. Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you!